Welcome to episode 478 of the Entertainment 2.0 podcast, brought to you by thedigitalmediazone.com. I'm Josh Pollard, and this is the show that puts you in control of your favorite movies, music, shows, and games. Well, it's just me this week. Richard's got a rough life, y'all. He's down in Austin, Texas for South by Southwest this week. So he's having a blast. I'm sure he always does. And I can't wait to hear all about it. And I'm sure he'll share some fun stories with you all next week, because he always ends up getting to do cool interactive experiences that are around shows like Game of Thrones and Westworld and stuff like that. So I fully expect some cool stories on the next episode of Entertainment 2.0 with Richard. Normally we'd get into some listener feedback here, but I don't think we have any this week. If you want to send us some via email, our address is entertainment20@thedigitalmediazone.com. All the rest of our contact information is over at the DMZ in the show notes for this, and we'll run through all of it at the end of the show, because I'd rather jump right into the news. This is kind of an unusual week. Most of our stories are audio stories. That's kind of uncommon. And the first story works as a video story. It works as an audio story. So it makes perfect sense as the first story to transition us into everything else. So this first one, it's really just an awesome, awesome new deal that I can't really take advantage of, but I hope a bunch of you do. So this deal is from Spotify. They've worked previously with Hulu in the past, but now they've got a new bundle, which includes their normal Spotify premium service. So this is unlimited, full featured streaming for one user. And it includes Hulu's base level video streaming service. So this is the service that has ads. But it's everything Hulu offers, this is not their live TV service. This is essentially their video on demand service. These two services individually, well, Spotify would cost you $9.99 a month, and Hulu would cost you $5.99 a month. Spotify is giving them both to you for $9.99 a month. You're getting Hulu for free. That's amazing and awesome. And some of you have really, really good memories and are thinking, didn't they do this already? They did. Last year, Hulu offered a similar bundle that included both services. But last year, it was $12.99. You had to pay a little extra to get Hulu. And right now, you don't. It's free. Essentially, it's free Hulu if you're a Spotify subscriber. They make it sound like this deal isn't going to last forever, though. It says that you have to sign up before a date in June or while supplies last. Don't you just love that phrase on digital services? What do you mean supplies? You don't run out of bits here, folks. But that's the phrase we're used to. So Spotify Premium plus Hulu's basic service for $9.99 a month. Now you're probably wondering, what's the catch? This is probably only for new subscribers and all that. For the most part, this is actually pretty good. If you're already a Spotify subscriber at the $9.99 a month level, so the normal one-person Spotify premium membership, you just need to go over to the website and click a few buttons and you'll get Hulu added on. You don't have to do anything else. This isn't a deal that's only for new subscribers or anything like that. This works even if you're already a subscriber. If you are going to be a new subscriber through this, well, the deal just gets sweeter, because you'll get your first month of Spotify and Hulu for free, both of them, a free month of service just for signing up here. If you signed up last year in that bundle that was $12.99 a month, they're just going to automatically lower your price. Like, how often do you actually hear of services doing that? No one ever reduces the cost for you, not without you having to do something. Spotify is just going to automatically reduce the cost for you. That's pretty awesome. That's really awesome. You don't normally see this kind of service from these types of providers. So the only thing that I'm disappointed about is I'm a Spotify premium family plan subscriber. my whole family has accounts, and it just doesn't make sense to pay for multiple individual accounts at $9.99 when you can get, I want to say the family plan includes six accounts for $15.99. Yeah, so that's what I'm doing. And it stinks that I'm missing out on Hulu, but I'm still getting a pretty awesome deal with my family subscription. I told you we had a lot of audio news. The next story is about your Echo devices. Now, don't worry. You don't have to rush over and mute your Echo devices. I'm not going to say the keyword. I'm not going to do that to you. It's okay. They're rolling out a new feature. And this is a feature that makes a ton of sense because so many people use the Echo and all the various other smart speakers to listen to music. And a lot of times you're just listening to random playlists, not playlists that you've put together. And so you might hear a song and wonder, what was that song? Well, the Amazon voice assistant has been smart enough to be able to tell you, if you ask, what song it was that you just listened to. But everyone apparently does this. Amazon has said that they've received hundreds of thousands of questions about the songs that are being played through Echo devices. That's a lot. Unfortunately, they were smart enough to realize if we're getting this many questions, maybe we should think about how we're offering this service to people so that they don't have to ask so many questions. So that's what they're doing. And they're rolling out a new feature on all of these Echo smart speakers where you can enable it to tell you what song it's about to play. It's sort of like listening to the radio. Anybody remember that? Where the DJ might tell you what they're about to play. Here's the thing that I find really weird about this, like that they almost maybe kind of missed the point. I almost never want to know what song I'm about to hear. I want to know what song I just heard. Is it a good song? Then I want to know what it was. Is it just a meh song? Then I don't really care because I'm not seeking out meh songs and trying to add those to my playlist. If it's a song that I love, then I want to know what it was, who sang it, so that I can seek them out and add them to my favorites and create playlists out of them. I don't need to know every song that's about to play. I also don't need to know every song that is playing or has been played. But at the very least, I think I would want this notification after the song is played. Am I weird here? Or did Amazon just do this backwards? Let me know, because I really do think this is kind of backwards. Either way, I think it is a cool feature. I think it's going to get a lot of use. And fortunately, some of you are like screaming at your phones right now, thinking, no, I don't need this to tell me the names of songs. It's okay. You don't have to turn this feature on. It is completely configurable. You can turn it off. You know, what I think would be ideal is if it only told you if you were listening to some playlist that you didn't make. You know, if you say, play the latest Avid Brothers album, I don't need you to tell me the name of every song and who the artist is because I asked for it. But if I'm just asking for, I would like to give names from Spotify, but unfortunately, this service only works with Amazon's music streaming services. That's the other big problem here. Even if I was an Amazon Voice Assistant user, which I'm not, I'm also a Spotify user. So this isn't going to work for me at all. But ideally, it would only tell me the songs that I just heard and only when listening to a playlist that I didn't create. I think that's the best possible scenario for minimal interruptions and most knowledge gained that I actually want. Another quick update on the audio front. Sonos last year released their Sonos One speaker, not to be confused with the Play One speaker that they had for a few years prior to that. Well, they're rolling out a new version of it, essentially a second generation of the Sonos One speaker. But they didn't really make a big deal in announcing it because on the surface, it doesn't sound like a very big deal. It has more memory. It has a faster processor and it has Bluetooth LE, but they're not talking about any features that are coming that use any of those. But it is new hardware, so they're trying to get rid of the old hardware. So the first generation Sonos One can be picked up while they're still available at prices usually around $179. So you're going to save yourself $20 if you want to buy a first generation Sonos One. But maybe you don't actually want to do that, because when Sonos has done things like this in the past to work on new features, I'm thinking AirPlay 2, a lot of times those features don't end up getting supported on the older hardware. So if you're really looking to future-proof yourself as much as you possibly can with this type of technology, then you might just want to pay the extra $20 and buy the new second generation Sonos One. One more audio story for you here. Yes, three audio stories, kind of three and a half in one episode. It's kind of unusual for us here, but this is another good one. If you love your high quality audio streaming, like really, really high quality, and by that I really mean Tidal, then you're probably a Tidal subscriber. Tidal's top tier plan includes a feature called Master Quality Audio Tracks. These are offer bit rates and compression levels better than CD quality is what they say. I'm not sure that I can tell the difference. I'm sure plenty of you can. But up until recently, to use that service, you could only listen to those tracks at that quality level when using a computer. And I think most of you are like me, and we don't just listen to music at our computers. We want it to sound as best as it possibly can, no matter where we're listening. And now you can, in theory, depending on how you're hooking all of this up, because Tidal is now going to allow you to listen to master quality audio tracks on Android and on iOS. So that's pretty much any phone that you're using out there, probably, except for you people who are still clutching your Windows phones, I suppose. And that's a nice feature to see. But again, I wonder, are you hooking your phone up to something that is going to be able to reproduce the audio at that quality level? Now, maybe you've got some like really nice headphone amplifier that you plug into your phone, but even that's probably harder to come by now that most brand new, you know, top tier phones don't even have headphone jacks anymore. So I'm wondering how much this actually makes sense for people, because if you're just Bluetooth streaming this music, it's probably not going to be at the same quality level anymore. So if you're a Tidal subscriber and you're paying for their hi-fi tier to get this, which is setting you back $19.99 a month, that's for one person to have access to Tidal's top tier streaming service here. What are you planning to do now that you can listen to these MQA tracks anywhere? Do you even have a way to enjoy them in full fidelity from your phone? I want to know. I want to hear about it. I'm sure some of you are interested in this, because I know of plenty of you who only rip your CDs in FLAC and, you know, other types of lossless types of digital formats and stuff like that. So I want to hear from you. Let me know, are you using Tidal on the go from your phone? And are you paying the $19.99 a month to be able to do it? Only one gaming story for you all this week, although with GDC, the Game Developers Conference, being next week, I imagine we'll have some things to talk about on the next episode. But this one is more details around a rumor that we've talked about in the past. It looks as though Microsoft is quite likely going to be releasing another version of the Xbox One console, and they're going to be doing it real soon. It's supposedly going to be called the Xbox One S All Digital Edition. And by All Digital Edition, they mean there's no disk drive. If you want to put games on this thing, you got to buy them digitally from the Xbox store, which For a lot of you, heck, maybe most of you, that's how you're already doing it. So cool. But some of you who are more interested in saving as much money as possible on games, you're probably out there buying disc-based games. So this one isn't going to work for you, but there's other reasons to be interested in this. Most likely, the price. We don't know what it's going to be, but when Paul Thurrott first reported on this rumor a few months ago, he had said that this device could be $100 cheaper than other Xbox One S consoles. That could mean a $199 Xbox One. And that's a pretty compelling offering for anyone looking for a secondary console, maybe one for another family member, another room in the house, maybe one to keep at the office, a vacation house. There's all sorts of reasons that you might want a device like this as a secondary Xbox, or maybe it's your only Xbox because you've been a PlayStation person for most of this generation, or Switch, and you just want to check out what the Xbox has to offer. This could be a great way to get into it. Now, we don't know any other details, especially since it's all a rumor at this point, but the rumors aren't even talking about hard drive storage sizes. And I think that's the biggest thing remaining when it comes to trying to figure out what this thing is going to cost. I noticed that while I don't think Microsoft ever officially announced it, they don't make a 500 gig Xbox One S anymore. If you go to the Xbox website, Best Buy, any place like that, all you're going to find are 1 terabyte Xbox One S offerings. That's it. So that kind of makes me think that they're going to put a 1 terabyte hard drive in this new all digital edition. But if they're really just trying to make this as cheap as possible, maybe they've still got some of those 500 gig drives laying around and that's what they stick in this thing. And maybe that's how they get it down to the $199 price tag. Or maybe just removing that Ultra HD Blu-ray player is enough to get them to drop the price $100. But that drive, it's not just used for games. And that's where a lot of you listeners will know that this is perhaps the biggest downside to this console. When the Xbox One S launched, it was one of the only, and it was definitely the cheapest, Ultra HD Blu-ray player on the market. There wasn't anything that cost less that allowed you to watch 4K Blu-rays on your TV. And this version obviously won't be able to do that. Now, there's probably plenty of people out there who aren't using their Xboxes to play movies, but I'm sure a lot of you that listening are. So maybe this isn't the best option for you. But if you're just going all digital on your games, this could be a really nice way to save some money. And you might not need to wait very long. The rumors say pre-orders are going to happen in mid-April, so only about a month away, and then they'll start shipping worldwide. Yep, that's kind of a first for Microsoft, isn't it? Actually shipping a product in most countries where it should be available all at the same time. Yes, all of you fans of ours and people in our community over in Europe who are sick of having to wait forever or maybe never to get Microsoft products, it sounds like this might launch in all markets or at least most markets where the Xbox is all at the same time. And that those orders should be shipping in May sometime. So you're not going to have to wait long and it should be available to you before E3. So this could be a GDC announcement, but it really doesn't sound like the type of thing that you would announce at GDC. And if they're not going to take pre-orders until mid-April, this seems like the type of thing that you would announce and make pre-orders available the same day. There's not really much of a reason to make people wait to pre-order something like this. There's one more thing I'd like to point out about this, and this just continues the forever long saga of Microsoft being absolutely terrible at naming things. Xbox One S All Digital Edition, it's terrible on its own. But let's put that into an acronym. It's the Xbox One Sad Edition. Yes, they really named it the Sad Edition. Come on, Microsoft. Okay, that sad news ends our gaming news tonight. And it really actually ends all of our news. So I'm just going to spend a couple more minutes getting you caught up on what's been going on in my entertainment center. On the gaming front, I played through Life is Strange 2 Episode 2. Joe and I, of course, are playing that for one of the other podcasts here at the DMZ. That would be Story Players. We're going to be getting together to record that very soon. So look for that in your feeds. Oh, probably next week sometime. Joe and I also finished Crackdown 3 together. I don't know exactly how long it took us to beat it. I would say 12-ish hours, probably somewhere in there. We did not do most of the optional stuff. He was not interested at all in any of the car racing events. Neither of us were all that interested in some of the other like running platforming sort of events or the propaganda tower climbing things. That's just anxiety inducing. Trying to climb the really tall buildings for the missions that we had to complete was difficult enough. I was not looking for the challenge of climbing those propaganda towers. And we never got into the multiplayer because you can't play the multiplayer with friends. So that didn't sound all that fun either. Now, I just said a whole lot of bad things about it, but the actual campaign was a lot of fun. The things that I've said about this game the last couple of episodes, none of that has changed. I had a lot of fun with this game. I'm not sure that I would have paid $60 for it, but you don't have to. Pay $10 for Xbox Game Pass and play it for a month. You ought to be able to finish it in a month unless you only play, I don't know, an hour a week. That's not going to work out for you. But yeah, grab it. Check it out. It's a lot of fun, especially with a friend. On the gaming side, of course, I also played more than my fair share of NHL over the weekend and even got in a few matches of Call of Duty Black Ops 4. Still love that game. I mean, this wasn't even Blackout. Like, obviously, there's a lot of great Battle Royale games, but I still just love that Call of Duty multiplayer. And Black Ops 4, it does it really, really well. In terms of watching things, I watched perhaps the biggest movie of the year to release yet. That, of course, is Captain Marvel. Maybe I should just stop talking. Most of you probably know that you shouldn't listen to me for my superhero movie opinions. They're usually not in line with everybody else's. Everyone else seems to love them. I've usually been kind of meh on them. I really liked Captain Marvel a lot. I think from a movie perspective, they did a lot of things right. It was not too long this time. So many of these movies are way longer than they need to be. Captain Marvel was not. It was like 2 hours and 3 minutes, I think. And never once did I feel like they were dragging things out. It was well-timed. It was a good from that perspective. The character stuff was all really good. There was not too much comedy for my liking. I really, really disliked Thor Ragnarok for all of the comedy that was thrown into that, and really like Black Panther. Like, I thought Black Panther had the right amount of comedy. This has probably more funny parts than Black Panther, but still doesn't go crazy like Thor Ragnarok did. Overall, really liked it. The biggest thing that I don't like about it, I'm not going to talk about. Because if you don't know anything at all about Captain Marvel, the thing that I don't like is something with the character. This has nothing to do with gender or anything like that. If you know anything about the history of Captain Marvel, especially in the comics, there have been multiple people, both men and women, who have played the character. Nope, that's not my problem at all with this. My problem is with the superpowers. And that's all I'm going to say. Because if you don't know what Captain Marvel's abilities are, I'm not going to say it because you don't really find out what they are until the very end of the movie. So maybe in the future we'll talk about this. Maybe after the Avengers movie comes out, because everyone will see the Avengers movie and they'll know by then what it is that Captain Marvel can do. So we'll talk about it then. But if you've heard me talk about superheroes in the past and what I do and don't like about some of them, it might not be that hard to figure out what it is that I don't like about Captain Marvel. But she's a really, really cool character. Her as a person, I thought was really cool. I liked her attitude, her, you know, the way that she talks, all that stuff is really cool. I don't like her powers. Don't like her powers at all. Everything else about the movie, pretty darn good. I've also mentioned the last couple of episodes that TiVo sent me a TiVo Bolt OTA DVR. I've been checking that out some more. Finally got the kids using it. They've had no complaints. No complaints at all. They were puzzled by one thing. My oldest daughter was watching recorded TV, which is weird. I don't think my kids have ever watched recorded TV on their own. Maybe way back in the days of Windows Media Center. Yeah, actually, they probably did. The oldest one, when she was like 3 and was watching Handy Manny episodes on Windows Media Center back in 2011. Man, that's forever ago. But over the past 5-6 years, they haven't been watching any DVR stuff. Well, I had to set up something to watch. So I was going through the guide with my 10-year-old and taking her recommendations. And so I ended up recording America's Funniest Home Videos. Blah, I hate that show. It's not fun. I don't like it, but she did. And she's been watching it and she's been having no problems with using the TiVo. The one question she had was, Dad, how do I stop the video? And she was using our Logitech Harmony remote. And I said, push the stop button. And she actually didn't know what that was. She didn't know what the pause button was either, which kind of makes me feel like a failure as a dad when it comes to using remotes. It's the one with the square on it. That's the stop button. And she pushed it and it just made it was like pressing the back button. And I'm like, what is going on with this thing? The Harmony must have just mismapped the button. So did I grab the TiVo remote? No, that would have been the smart thing to do. Instead, I pull out the Harmony app on my phone and I'm going to reconfigure the stop button to make it be a stop button. It's not an option. What? I grabbed the TiVo remote because I haven't really looked at it that closely. I've mostly been using the Harmony also. The TiVo remote doesn't have a stop button. How did I not know this? How does the TiVo remote not have a stop button? I don't understand. I come from Windows Media Center where we stopped shows when we were done watching them. But that's not how it works with TiVo. And that's okay. I just had to teach my daughter what the pause button was, which it's the two lines. Come on. It's not that hard. So overall, going well. She's using it for recorded TV. The youngest kid, the 6-year-old, is using it fine for YouTube. Actually, I think the oldest daughter is also using it for Amazon and Netflix. So all of that stuff seems to be working quite well. The TV features are working great. The only problem that I'm currently having is occasional black screen stuff that I'm sure is an HDMI issue. But I don't know. It must not bother the kids too much because they're not complaining about it, which seems weird. So I need to figure that out. It's probably a cable or something like that, but I don't know for sure. So I'm going to try swapping out some HDMI cables and see how that goes. But everything's going great. You know, I was watching the 4K version of Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon that I mentioned a couple weeks ago through Amazon Video on it. It's got Amazon, it's got Netflix, it's got YouTube. Maybe my only other complaint is it doesn't have Spotify. Kind of need a Spotify app. Have you noticed I use Spotify a lot? Yeah. So that's my initial impressions with the TiVo Bolt, but we'll continue to talk about it, both Richard and I, as he's got the cable version of the Bolt and I've got the OTA. But from an OTA perspective, it's been flawless. I've had no issues with signal or reception or anything like that. No, the black screen issues that I'm seeing are not from signal. The fastest, easiest way, well, other than the fact that it happens while I'm watching Amazon and Netflix, but one of the ways to test if it's a reception issue, if you're watching through a DVR like a TiVo, rewind it. Watch the part that went black twice. Does it go black again at the same point? then it's a problem with your recording, and it could be a reception issue. If it doesn't, then it's something else like an HDMI issue, and that's what's happening with me. So I've got to figure that out. And TiVo is responding to my inquiries there too. So everything has been pretty darn good with the TiVo. One last thing before we get out of here, I want to remind you that we are still giving away a ton of gear from Insteon. Yeah, it's a whole bunch of smart home devices, 9 products in all, worth almost $500. And this is a very, very easy contest to enter. Head on over to the Digital Media Zone and click the buttons there to get signed up for this contest. It is a ton of stuff, and it's very easy to enter. If you want to get a hold of us, you can find us on Twitter. Richard is at Richard Gunther. You should really be following him while he's down in Austin for South by Southwest. All sorts of fun stuff going on, and he tweets about a lot of it. You can follow me at Josh Pollard, and the website is at Digi Media Zone, D-I-G-I Media Zone. We're also on Facebook, and we've got the email addresses. All of that is in the show notes. We've got our other podcast. I mentioned Story Players a little bit earlier. That is our podcast that is the video game spoiler cast. We play story-driven games and talk about our experiences with them. We've also got Home On, Richard's other show, focusing on smart home technology. And all of those can be found on iTunes or pretty much anywhere else that you can find podcasts. So make sure to subscribe to all of those shows so you don't miss a single episode. And then normally, you know, when it's a normal week, like we're both here and life isn't going insane, we would record the show live on Tuesday nights at 8:30 p.m. Eastern with a live video feed and a chat room. It's a ton of fun, and hopefully we will see you in the chat room the next time we do it, which will probably be next week. So follow us on Twitter to know for sure when we're going to be streaming live, because that's going to do it for episode 478. I'm Josh Pollard. Thanks for listening to Entertainment 2.0. Adios.